Praise God. Well, turn in your Bibles with me, please, if you have your Bibles or any kind of apparatus that would give you that. If you got an iPhone or whatever phone you got, you can download your app there, or you just have an old-time Bible. How many of you still carry an old-time Bible yet? That's my man. That's my woman. Praise God. Amen. And who would like to have some front seats? I mean, they're free tonight. Praise God. Amen. Just come on over, some front seats. And they don't cost any more than you have over there. Just come on up here. I promise you, you're going to get really blessed. You come up and sit up in the front seat. And, you know, you're going to come where the anointing is. Anointing, I promise you, is stronger up here than it's back there. And God's going to get you, praise God. Amen. You can sit back there and kind of watch everybody else and come in. I like doing that myself. But there's sometimes you have to be in the front get where the action is, praise God. Amen. The first one going to get hit out of the front row. Amen. We're just trusting God. We're believing God that good things going to happen. God's going to hit Dave, and it's going to trickle over to Joanne, Miss Joanne there. She's going to do a little dance for us, and praise God. And the subject tonight, the subject matter is the faith life, and we generally ask for a faith message on Wednesday night, and we want to do that again. And some of the men asked me about Wednesday that I've been preaching. Haven't the men been doing good? The pastor's been doing good while I'm away, praise God, amen. They've been doing really well, and thank you for that no clap, but I know you. I feel that you're trusting the Lord, and so anyway, my title tonight is, "Why should we stay here and die?" Why should we stay here and die? So that's my title of a message, the proposition I'm making tonight, what I'm proposing as an idea of this teaching, and where we're going to end up is this. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. You know, you can hear a lot of people that say they believe this, they believe that, they have this dream, they're going to do that, they have this kind of goal, but they never act on it, they never do anything. And still, after 40 years, they're having a breakdown because they never did anything. I can tell you now, if I died right now, I've done more than I ever dreamed of. I went to a program called Alcoholics Anonymous years ago. I was 17 years old. I had nowhere to go. I was in and out for a number of years after my 17th birthday. And I was in and out of jail, in and out of an institution. Just anybody that told me anything, I would not believe them. The old-timers, parents, anybody would tell me something, I would just buck at it, wouldn't listen to them because I thought I knew everything. Until I proved to myself that I could not handle getting high. But, you know, I learned, they told me that I needed to get a spiritual life, and they were not Christians per se, it was not a Christian organization, but they told me that I had to have a spiritual lifestyle if I was ever going to get better. And when someone looked at me, they thought I'd never get better. And I was in and out of jail and getting in trouble, living in a cellian, going in and out of institution, inside the psychiatric hospital, wanting to die, trying to kill myself, was scared to do it when I did it. Until I had to get a hold of myself. They told me that faith without works is dead. They weren't Christians. But they knew something, and the Christian was the background, and that stuff was the Christian background. And when I was in the psychiatric hospital waiting to be committed, because I wanted to, because I could not stand living anymore, I asked to be committed. I asked them to let me stay here. I don't want to live here out there anymore. Do something. Give me something. Give me some pill. Knock me out. Do whatever it is. Because I'm going to end up killing myself. It's hard to believe that this young man who was in a hospital, at the psychiatric hospital, or at the emergency getting his tummy pumped out from all the drugs that took. It's hard to believe that I'm standing right here today, that the impossible that people thought about Roma Fisher became, you know, the impossible became the possible. And no matter what someone says to you today, it is possible for you to have the kind of life that you dreamed of. They told me, Jerry, when I went into those rooms, those club rooms, they said to me, you're going to experience a life that you've never really imagined could ever happen to you. And I really enjoyed today. I got up this morning. I was very grateful to listen, and read material and do the same things I did 40 years ago that got me sober, got me clean, got me off the street. I wasn't able to live in the Sally Ann anymore. I didn't have to go back to jail. I didn't have to go back to one more treatment center. I didn't have to go to the Smith Clinic or the detox or the psych ward. I didn't have to take one more pill. Praise God, I'm a free man today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want to say that testimony. My wife always tells me, why don't you continue to share your testimony just like your aunt does. I have an aunt who's on television. Her name is Joyce Meyer. And she's my aunt in the faith. I call her my mad aunt sometimes because she seems like be mad all the time. But she's a happy woman because she was molested by her father sexually for many, many years. And the Lord took that life and changed it around. And she speaks and helps people all over the world today. Praise God. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Nothing is impossible.
Amen.
I said nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. I just want to run home right now, praise God, and just have a great time here. We're going to have a great time. Aren't we going to have a great time? Are you having a good time yet?
Yeah.
Well, some of you are thinking about it. Well, I want to eat chicken tonight. I heard one amen. But I don't want to pay for it. Where's Pastor Ken? Oh, there he is over there. He paid for my meal. I said, let's go for lunch, and he pays my meal. And I would not argue with him at all. I said, he's very nice. He pulled out Pastor Miss Cindy's credit card and used it. I'm just kidding. It's his credit card. Amen. That's what I usually do with my wife's 20. Take it out. The faith life. Are we ready? Why should I stay here and die? The faith that does nothing. It's worth nothing. You know, remember a song over there in the 70s? I think, you know, our good friend back here, that's one of his favorite songs. I think it was a black fella that sang that song. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Something like that, anyway. Probably not even the tune, right? How many people remember that? See, they remember that. You know, Jerry loved that tune. In fact, he downloaded that yesterday. All right, let's go to the Bible, James 2:14. The Bible says, this is the New Century Version. My brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith, but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that save them? As an introduction, I want to say that faith needs expression. Faith is always active. Faith is something you act on. Wigglesworth used to say, faith is an act. If you believe something, show me by how you talk and how you walk. The Bible says. Faith is seen in two places primarily. It is seen in your mouth or words. It is also seen in your actions or your behavior. Your behavior indicates what you believe. What you say is what you believe. What comes out of your mouth the first time trouble comes is what's in your heart. James 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You cannot help but say what's in your heart. And people are building a faith in the negative by listening to things that are not good for them. Your spirit is like your stomach. There is three gates to your heart. What you see, what you look at continually, what you hear continually. You know, what you say. That gets into your heart, contaminates your spirit, and builds a consciousness of fear and doubt and destruction and defeat. Yep. What we say primarily deals with your heart. Proverbs 4, 20 and 23, I believe it is, says in there, guard your heart above all else, for out of it are the issues of life. You must watch what you focus on. Because what you look at long enough will be imprinted in your spirit. So we must be careful. Lord and God, we can just say, praise the Lord. We go home right now. We got something out of this. This is a powerful message. Just a little change of life. People were waiting for me for years. I'll go back to drinking or going doing drugs, or they're waiting for me for a long time. They'll never see me back there. I made up my mind. I've locked myself in with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I ain't going back. There's no reason to go back. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. And I used to wonder when I sit in the AA meetings, I was chained to an AA meeting, that I had to go there to get sober. But I realized that those things were just as a bondage as me as anything else. I realized that I was free one day. The Bible says that we are delivered from the power of darkness. And whatever holds you in bondage is your slave. You're a master to whatever holds you in bondage. And I said, I'm not being held to anything, praise God. Thank God I can go to meetings. I can go to meetings today having a great time. In fact, I went to one while I was out of town here and just enjoyed it. Praise God. I enjoyed that fellowship. I have nothing bad to say about it. It saved my life. In fact, I got nothing bad to say about anything. If you can't say something good, don't say it. Faith needs to be expressed. Let's examine this idea about faith not acted upon and faith not acted upon is useless. This is what Brother James said about faith over there in the 14 verses there in James 14 to 20. He said, my brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that save them? A brother or sister in Christ might need clothes or food. You say to that person, God be with you. I hope you stay warm and get plenty of eat. But you do not give what that person needs, your faith, your words are worth nothing. In the same way, faith by itself that does nothing is dead. Someone might say, you have faith, but I have deeds. Show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe there is one God. Good. But demons do believe that too, and they tremble with fear. You foolish person, you must be shown that faith that does nothing is worth nothing. He says that again. See, demons have some kind of faith, but it's worth nothing to them. We need to always ask God if we're on the right track. Pray. That's what prayer is for when you stay in communion with God. God, just tell God, ask the Lord, am I doing the right thing here? Don't just be doing things, God. Examine yourself on a thorough basis, regularly. Ask yourself, you should ask yourself, really, is what you're saying, is that really faith? Is that statement a true fact, or is that just a theory of man? Because theories of man are okay to some degree, but, you know, we need to say if it's in the Scripture, it's truth. So we need to ask God, Lord, help me. Let's go ahead and say this together. Say, Lord, help me to see where I'm wrong. Help me to adjust myself. Holy Spirit, I yield my spirit to you. I give you my mind. Use my mouth. Help me to grow. And you can add in Jesus' name. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, 39. What is patience? The Bible talked about there, you know, we need patience. 9:35 to 39, he says, verse 39, cast not therefore away your confidence. You know, the word confidence, it says 9:35 or 10:35, Hebrews 10:35 says, I believe it is, cast not away your confidence. Is that what it says there, guys? Is that what it says? Cast not away your confidence. What is confidence? You know, 1 John 5 says, this is the confidence that we have in him. Yeah. And you see that same word over there, a similar version of it. You see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, this faith is the confidence of things not seen. Yeah. That word confidence is also another version of faith. When someone doesn't have confidence, he doesn't have faith. So he's telling us not to throw away our faith. Don't throw away what you believe because it ain't coming as fast as you think it should. God is at work right now on what you've been praying about for the last 2 years. God is at work right now. What you've asked him to, and it takes other people around you. You've been praying for somebody, you've been praying for certain things, but God has to, you know, God is patient. He'll be patient with those people you've been praying about as much as he's been patient with you.
Yeah.
And he'll have to work through people to get to, you know, get them to a position where they can get into a situation where they can say, yes, I'm ready. I will do that. I will go to Africa. I will give that car to grandma. How long did it take you for you to listen to God? How long did it take you? 2 days? It takes more than 2 days to listen to God. We had to go and prove to ourselves in different areas that we don't know everything. We don't know everything. If you knew everything, you wouldn't be in the position you are in right now. Praise God. I'm talking to myself. That nice Dodge Ram, 110 easy payments of $500 is a long time. After a while, it gets tiring pulling out $500, especially when you need A&W. Cast not away your confidence, or therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. You'll be rewarded if you don't do that. Don't do the quitting. The next verse says, for you have need of patience. Turn to your neighbor and say, I need patience. Turn to the other neighbor and say, point to him and say, you need patience too. Amen. We need patience. You know, what's patience? You know, people say, what is patience? Patience is not just sort of, you know, just waiting around. What are you doing? I'm just being patient here. You know, patience, there's more to patience than just waiting around idly. I put on my status there today. God spoke to me. I was just sitting there in my, you know, I'm always studying. I'll go around about my business. I'll come here. I'll go back to different places. I'll sit by myself and read again. This is how I study. I don't want to just study 6 hours straight. I'll do an hour here, 2 hours there. I'll come here. I'll do whatever. I'll talk to people, have coffee with them. Then I'll do something. Maybe I'll go for a walk around Boulevard Lake. Today I walked around Boulevard Lake. I'm not as fast as Sandra, but I walked around Boulevard Lake. And I took notes all the way through. Nonstop, I took notes, you know. I don't know how I made it around there. I didn't know I made it to the other side. But I take notes and I go to the gym and I work out for about an hour or so, an hour and 15, an hour and 20 minutes or something. I take long, sometimes long, because I take notes. I listen to men of God on I don't listen to CKPR or serious music. I listen to stuff, and I listen to serious music. You guys bought me that, remember? How many remember you bought me serious music? You got me listening to 70s on 70. Elton John and all those people. Somebody said it's the devil's music. Well, maybe it is, maybe it's not, but some of it is good, rocking. I'm not all for every kind of song, like AC/DC, Highway to Hell. You shouldn't be listening to that. How many of you are still rocking that kind of stuff? You need to get saved, man. Huh? I like Stairway to Heaven better. And I like Meatloaf. Somebody said, my favorite tune is One is the Loneliest Number. last time, one of those times, Mark Davey, you know Mark Davey, he's crazy. He comes here sometimes, preaches, I like him, sometimes we fight. And because sometimes I don't like him at all. But anyway, we talk about different things. And so he talks about different things, and he's preaching, how he gets so dramatic, that gets together. He says, he's asking people, he's getting impatient of people not acting on the word, not doing what the word says. Then he belts out the song of the 70s. He says, how long has this been going on? How long? How many of you remember that song? Huh? Or remember when he was doing that, It's funny, like he just bursts out like that, makes you laugh, and he's quite entertaining. If he was in the world, he'd give some of these comedians a good, whatever. For you need a patience after you've listened to this. You have need of patience. Patience, another word for patience in the original language is endurance. Endurance, you need to be able to endure and not get weak while you're waiting. When you're waiting, you're not supposed to get weaker. The Bible says about Abraham, the father of faith, in Romans 4, the Bible says that he got stronger and stronger, not weakening in faith, as he's waiting for the promise of God. So I put on my status today. Something there that, when you believe God, when you believe the scripture, when you prayed and you release your faith, when you believe, go about your day acting like it's so. Yeah. Yep. Acting like it is. Yeah. Put a smile on your face. The Bible says when you were believing God, we do have a smile. And it's harder when you have to wait for things. It's harder when you got a life and death matter. It don't matter if you need $10. You can whistle all you want, but when someone's dying, one of your relatives is dying, it's harder to whistle and smile away. Yep. But we still have to do the same thing. Yep. Am I yelling too much? You have need of patience. After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Notice this. You're going to receive the promise after you've done the will of God when you're patient. Yeah. While you're being patient, you're going to do the will of God. Whatever God says to do, you're going to start acting like it's so, and then you're going to receive the promise. Yeah. What are you talking about promise? Whatever you're asking God for. Yeah. You can make things, humanly speaking, you can make things come and go in your life because of your human effort. And people say, God did this and get God did that. But they did it themselves. They went and got the loan. They forced themselves on someone and became their friend and so forth. And God didn't do a lot of the stuff. They went and did it themselves. And they call it, God bless me. They got, whatever. But they went out and helped God. So they were impatient. And because they were impatient, they went out and did something and caused themselves to be blessed, so to speak. But it wasn't God's will in a certain area. So they had to backtrack You know, Brother Hagin used to say, I'd rather be a step behind God than two steps ahead of God. Because you spend all your time trying to undo all your wrongs. When I married my wife, I made so many mistakes before that. Trying to make people love me. You know what? You can't make people love you. And you can't never make somebody pay you back of whatever they've done to you. So, when the Lord, you know, told me about my wife, you're going to marry this woman, and I had to believe it. And I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it. Why would somebody like me? Because I had such a low self-esteem. Why would anybody like me where I came from? All the stuff that I did. If I told you everything that I did here, you would never stay here. You could not believe what I did. You'd never believe it. What I've done to people and you know, different things, the things that I pulled. God is merciful.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, don't look at me that way because you've done the same thing. So, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. It says in there, verse 38, but the just shall live by faith. Living by faith every day. I was told that we have a 24-hour program of faith. If we didn't do that, we'd go back to drinking again. We'll go back to using drugs if we don't do the 24-hour thing. If we don't follow the same principles over and over again, we're going to go back doing what we've done before. Somebody said, if you don't want to have what you've been having, you got to change what you've been doing. We got to do it. So when you first start this spiritual life, you're going to do a lot of things you're not used to doing. You're not used to coming to Wednesday night service. I'm ready. I want to come to Wednesday night service. It's not like I don't want to come here. I want to be here. I get to come here. I mean, our school kids, you know, at the college, when we were even teaching the college in 2001, when we got back from Rhema, 2000, actually, me. Kids get up in the morning, you know, they're just, oh, man, I've got to come here. You know, you don't have to come here. Nobody's holding you. Just go out if you want to. But if you want to come here, if you want what you what you never had before, like a degree or something like that, if you want a good job, you got to be here. But also, you get to come here and learn all this stuff and talk to me. And you know, they get a kick out of it because they say, they tell me that at the school, when I'm doing all this stuff with the kids and we're working with the students, they say, you know, we're going to class, we're going to have aromatherapy. You know, get some more aromatherapy. You get to build a relationship with kids, and I've seen a lot of kids over the years. I've seen drug addicts come to my class. I've seen people who were on the streets of Vancouver selling their bodies to other men just to get another hit. It's real. And having to steal from grandma and trying to kill and come in and out of jail, selling their bodies for another fix. Sleeping under park benches year after year, sleeping on the street. I've seen these people come out and live good lives today. I've seen people who had problems with real bad emotional problems, people who were afraid to come out of their rooms, come in my classroom, and stay there and finish the program. Lots of them have come, and they put faith to action. So we make our classroom a place where you can feel comfortable, where you can feel safe. My wife and I practice this, and we allow the kids to talk about something. I said, in this room, you can dream whatever you want to dream. Dream big. I said, life has a knack of kicking a hole in your dream and kicking the life out of you so that you don't have any more dream left. But in this room, in this classroom, you can dream big. Dream whatever you want to dream. So we give them back the ability to dream again. Because I know what it's like. Tomorrow morning or tomorrow night, I'm going to a place down my home community to do to help our community. We have a 15-year-old boy who committed suicide. And then I had a call. I said, there's three more who just passed away just before that. in another community. And then there was another one who was in the hospital, did the same thing. When I was up north, I was preaching one day and I was traveling. The Lord spoke to me right in the meeting while I was preaching. While I was preaching there, the Lord spoke to me very strong. I was in, Big Trout Lake, Ontario. The Lord spoke to me very specifically. He said, see that lady back there? I want you to stop your sermon and pray for her right now. I just let that word go by. I continued on my way preaching. The Lord said to me, stop your sermon and pray for that lady right there back there. I stopped. I didn't want to think about it. I said, tell me in my mind, I said, Lord, you're spoiling my sermon here. How many people know that you need God to interrupt you? Sometimes you have to be interrupted by God so that there's something somebody needs you. I remember Lynette telling a story that when she went to the, she was hurrying and she had to go getting to the checkout, trying to get out of there right away. And some lady stopped her, talked to her, hey, saw you on television, started talking to her and everything else. And she didn't want to spend any time with that woman. All she wanted to do is pay her, you know, her whatever she had to pay and get out of there. But the Lord, she learned a lesson that day, and that the Lord said, you know, I want to interrupt you because this lady needs you. How many people know that people need you when they need you? So I had to phone, I was scheduled to go tomorrow night and the next night to, we planned this for about a year, to go and speak to a First Nations meeting with a bunch of pastors. We're trying to help pastors develop pastors and leaders on First Nations communities because there's hardly any First Nations pastors that are trained that actually have something very strong in their lives. We need mentors and role models, the people who can do stuff. So we were forming this committee with a number of other pastors and former politicians who were used to be pastors. And they, now they're out of the political field. They're working together. They asked me to come with them. They want me to bring the cameras in and do the thing with Spirit Alive. So when I had this call from my community, they needed some encouragement. So I want to go there. I want to be there. So I had to phone up pastor there in Walpole Island. I said, I got the situation. I know my car is out there. I rented a vehicle. It's sitting right out there right now. I'm ready to go this afternoon. But I said, I got a call from my reserve. And there's a young man that just passed away. They want us to come bring some people. We can speak the life of faith or encourage people. I said, I'm going to come to you. If you don't release me, I'm going to have to come to you and forego this because I'm committed to you. The Bible says that when a man promises something, he swears to his hurt. In other words, he goes to wherever he's supposed to go. Now, going there, I would have been ridiculed by my own community because I turned my back on them. But I was willing to do that because I promised that guy 1 year ago, and we planned this thing for 1 year. I don't know if people realize sometimes. Somebody's calling me right now. I have to cut them off. Sorry, whoever you are. But anyway, he said, okay, I release you. So we need to pray. We need to believe God. Pastor Mika from Solomon Church called me this morning, said, you're going to be there tomorrow. We want you to lead prayer at the waterfront. We're going to be praying for our city for United Prayer tomorrow night. I said, I can't be there. I got to go to my community. Pray for this young man. My understanding, this young man's both parents were drug addicted. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I could be corrected, but that's what I understood. But whatever it is, and maybe this young man as well was also addicted. How many days do you have left? How many times can you relapse and be alive again? Maybe the next time you won't come back. That's a sobering thought. And I know that if I went out, I've lived for 40 years without anything like that. But I know if I go back out there, I won't be long before I'll be begging on the street again doing the same things I did before. I have to do the same things for 40 years. I do the same things that I did 40 years ago. I haven't quit. I'm actually stronger at doing those things today. It's become a part of my life today. I still read. I still read the Bible every day. I read the big book still, my brother. I read it out loud to myself. When nobody's around, I have my own meeting. If nobody's around, I get my wife and get her to listen to me. She falls asleep, though. We read the Bible together every day. My faith without works is dead, people. I got to hear about somebody else's recovery so that I can know that I can still stay alive even after 40 years. Never stop what you're doing that made you successful. Keep doing what you've been doing, praise God. Hey, come on, people. Come on, people. Keep doing those same things that made you successful. Some people are hopeless. So we bring hope to people. I know that's a little bit of a departure, a small bit from what I'm saying, but faith without works is dead. You know, Colossians 3:6 says that as we therefore received Christ Jesus is the first section of that verse of Scripture. How did you receive Christ Jesus? Did you have to shovel snow, give money, work hard, pray for 40 days, and did you have to fast? No, you received it by faith. You received Jesus by faith. And every other thing after the day you received Jesus Christ is the same way we live day by day after that is by faith. You receive Jesus by faith. You receive every other promise in the Bible by faith. By faith. So walk ye in Him. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith needs expression. That's why it's a walk of faith. Ask yourself, if you're believing something, how are you believing? Show me in your behavior what you're doing to show somebody yourself or your or anybody else. Show us what is it you're doing in your talk and your walk that you're believing and expecting God that what you saw and what you asked is coming to pass. If you're not doing anything consistent with that, then you're lying to yourself. If you say you love me, show me. Give me the $20. Give me the chicken. Amen, right? You say, Pastor, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. And then you leave. You never leave me. You never gave me chicken. And you know I love chicken. We need to express it. You know, you can say a lot of things. You know, people say a lot of things. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. They've been saying it for years, but they've never done it. And fear is the big part of their life. They're afraid they're going to fail. Fear of failure is no excuse for you not doing something. My aunt says, do it afraid. That's what she says. She says, do it afraid. So courage means you're going to do something when you're afraid. Glory to God. There's so much here tonight. There is so much information coming out of me right now. It's like rivers. I can't stop it. Praise God. There's so much in here that people are getting tonight. There's so much on there that people are getting online tonight. How many sense that there's spirit of faith in here? You're catching the spirit of faith. You're not only receiving it, you know, by the word, but you're catching the spirit of faith. You catch an attitude by someone with faith. You catch that attitude by them. If all of a sudden you come here with your you know, your shoulders down, all of a sudden you walk up. Where is the devil? So salvation, that we continue to walk by faith the same way when we believe Christ. Faith does nothing, it's worth nothing. Let me just give you, you know, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. What about some action? What about acting on what you know? It's impossible to please God. You know, we have to understand there's a distinction between faith and grace. We said, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, by grace we've been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. You know, there's stuff that we never work for. God's given you a lot of stuff that you didn't have to work for. All you had to do is believe Him. Yeah. Works is okay. when it comes to different things, but not for our redemption. There's nothing you can do to get redeemed. Jesus did it all. There's a scripture in Titus 3, 4, and 8. There's Titus over here, the modern-day Titus. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the faithful saying, these things I will now that affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Good works are a result of us being saved. We don't work for our salvation, but they're a result of us being saved. There's a story in the Bible. I'm not going to read it because we're running out of time. Give me about 5 minutes more, faith minutes. 2 Kings chapter 7. There's a story, 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 to 19. Let me just give you a little bit of background so you wouldn't have to read everything. This was a time of drought and famine. You know what happens in a time of drought and famine? Are you guys doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay. People were dying. Many people were desperate. People were starving to death, and they were willing to do whatever it took so they can get food, so they can get sustained. Garbage was selling for a lot of money on the street so people could consume the garbage and live. People will do anything to live. There were four leprous people, men. They were desperate and they were willing to do whatever it took to have food. They were incurables. Ultimately, they were terminally ill. They were going to die anyway at some point. They were the zombies of the modern age, or they were the living dead. Their flesh was literally dying on their skin, while on their bones, while they were walking the earth. It was actually dying. They were losing parts of their body and so forth. Incurable. Terminal. They did something while other people waited. Like today, many are waiting on God to do something. These people, these four lepers, did something. They said, if we go into the city, they're going to kill us. If we stay out here, outside of the city walls, we will starve to death anyway. But let us move on ahead towards the city. The Bible says, as they went, they began to walk, and the army that was there heard a large army coming towards them. The Bible said they fled. They left the camp, left everything there. They didn't take their extra things. They left everything there, foods, cooking. There was chicken waiting for them there. There was dry ribs and everything. Hot wings, it's all there. Everything was there. You can think about it, you know, nice clothes. They didn't have any shoes or anything. Just everything was just rotting off their clothes. Their clothes were just all messed up and everything, but there was clothes waiting for them. Nice clothes, you know. There was cell phones there, everything. Everything was there. They tried on the, they got there. When they got there, hey, everybody's gone. There's a chicken. Let's start eating. Somebody left this ring. Let me just try it. Oh, this ring fits me. It fits me really good. Praise God. I'm going to use this ring. Nice clothes. They start wearing. They were dressed up really nice when they get out of that place later on. So the Bible says, as they were going towards the camp, the Bible says, the enemy heard the rumblings of an army coming. What made the difference? They said to themselves, if we stay here, we're going to die anyway. My Lord, we don't have any time here for a lot of this. Will he come back next time? Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses, the Bible said, Numbers 12, but I wanted to get into that and talk a little bit. But in 2 Kings chapter 1-3, it said there, Elisha had heard the word of the Lord. Elisha said, thus said the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria? Then the Lord, on whose land hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows of heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it, and with your eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. But there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said to one another, why should we sit here till we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, we shall die there. If we sit here, we will die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall upon the host of the Assyrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall die, but die. See, they got over this thing about dying. They said, we're going to die anyway. So the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 that Jesus destroyed the fear of dying. He destroyed death, the fear of dying for us. The Bible said he died for us so that we don't have to be afraid of dying ever. Fear of death stops a lot of people. Fear of dying, the fear itself scares a lot of people from doing something. What if I fail? What if she says no? What if he says no? What if they said no? What if the school says no? What if I worked so hard I didn't make it? Well, what if you make it? We will all die one day. Take a risk. Go ahead and jump. No, just kidding. That's not the kind of thing I'm talking about, okay? Please don't jump. See, when you walk the street, I was in Toronto. I see people sleeping right smack on the sidewalk with no pillow, no nothing, just lying there sleeping. Lots of them, and they've given up on life. They've given up on life. You know, so because they're hopeless. But how many people know that nothing shall be impossible? These lepers were going to die. Nothing was impossible for them. I have to close. Let me just say one thing about this story here is a wonderful story. We could continue to talk about it. But I want to show you something as we close with these scriptures in Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19, that we're going to close with these scriptures. Let me just read these. These four lepers, we had just seen the faith of four leprous men who got everything they needed in life because they weren't afraid to die. They risked something. And then we see over here in the Gospels, we see some more lepers. There's a leper there, leper here, leper everywhere. So it says here, these lepers, something happened to these guys. Something happened to them that they were able to get their healing and go back to society. They got instructions. Jesus said to them, go show yourself to the priest. They're lepers. You're supposed to go show yourself to the priest after you got healed. That's usually the case when you're all healed and ready. And they will usually say, okay, go see yourself to the priest so that he can confirm that you're already healed. But Jesus wanted to send them there before they were healed. God's telling you, before you're healed, before you got it, he says, go. He's asking you to act on what you believe. Faith without action, that's what he's saying. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, go yourself, show yourself to the priest. Many would say in our day, I can't do this, I'm a leper. Fear was the first thing that came into their minds, I guess. It's the first thing you're going to run to whenever you're supposed to do something towards whatever you believe in God for. Fear is what you're going to be encountering. I want to tell you, fear is the biggest obstacle you'll ever find in your life. And on top of that, one of the things you're going to have to learn to combat is stress. Learn how to relieve your anxieties. Eat lots of chicken during those times because it really helps. It really works, but you'll put on the pounds. You know, Jesus told them to go show yourself to the priest. They're lepers. You know, sometimes what God will tell us to do makes no sense at all towards our answer. I'm talking to you right now because whatever God tells you to do doesn't seem any relation to what you believe in God for, right? That he tells you to do something. They came, Jesus, you know, they had, Jesus, have mercy on us, heal us. Jesus, hey, go show yourself to the priest. What? Did he say go show? They all tell each other, did he say go show? What? We're leprous. Is he crazy? Look at the scab. Your nose is falling out. Look at your nose is falling out. I can see through your hand. Oh, don't forget, your foot is there. Brother, is he crazy? I'm serious. This is what's going on. While Jesus said, go show. This is ridiculous. When Jesus said to do something, it don't make any sense. There was, what about the blind man? That Jesus came up to a blind man. He's sitting there, and Jesus walks up to him. He spits on his eye and makes some puddle, you know, like mud, and he tells him, go wash yourself in a pool. What does it have to do with my healing? First of all, you're the one that put this muck on my eyes. And he's telling me to go wash. Help me wash. And then, not only did the blind man there was, it makes no good sense. You know, once you start reasoning things, then you lose faith. There were so many things. There's a guy by the name of, I forget his name over there, somewhere in the Bible. Naaman. Oh, yeah, I remember him, Naaman. You remember Naaman? He was a leper, too. And he came, you know, he had a maiden, a little slave girl. He says, you know, the slave girl said, you know, I wish we were in Israel because there's a prophet there. He's got a healing ministry. He'd heal you of your leprosy. So they made their way over there, knocked on his door, and they're waiting out there with his chariots and all that, and he's waiting for the man of God to come out to wave his hand over him and tell him something, whatever. And he's waiting there. He knock on the door and said, "My, you know, Naaman's over here. He wants healing and stuff, eh?" The servant told the servant there, the man of God told the servant, "Listen, tell Naaman to go jump in the lake. Not just one time, three times, six times, seven times, seven times. What does that have to do with healing? And plus, it was dirty water." See, you start reasoning things. And then he got mad. The guy got mad. Who does he think he is? It makes no sense at all. So Jesus tells, they run out of wine. Remember, they run out of wine in the second chapter of John, and they were having a party. They was at a wedding. Well, this said this is the first miracle Jesus did. They were at a wedding, and they run out of wine. And then the LCBO was closed. No bootleggers around. You think about it in those terms, modern day terms. They said, Jesus, they need water. Jesus said, Fill your pots up with water.
What?
They need wine. See, it don't make sense. Go show yourself to the priest. Somebody said, I need money. Give the preacher the money. Give preacher $20. What does it have to do with me needing money? See, a lot of times people are fearful of acting. They have a word, but it's so ridiculous from what they're asking God for, they missed it. So crazy. But anyways, the Bible says, they decided, okay, Jesus, you told us to go show us the praise. They'll probably kill us. So they went. We close with Luke 7:14. There's a serious shortage of faith, real faith, among God's own people. Jesus said, you know, I've not seen so great faith. No, not in Israel. Israel had the word of God. They had scripture, man. They had scripture. They had the Bible. They had the prophets and they had the writings. They had. Jesus said, I've not found faith, not in Israel, except this man over here. And he didn't have the Bible. But what he heard, he believed. Young's translation of John 17:14 says there, and having seen them, he said unto them, having gone on, show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass, in their going, they were cleansed. In their going. It's in your actions, your faith will be released, and the answer is on its way. Let's go ahead and stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Can you lift your hands up and praise? Can you start praising God and thanking Him for the word of faith? Can you thank God for the answer? Hey, somebody said it don't make sense to praise God. It does. It does. Go ahead and lift your hands up and begin to praise God. Wherever you are, if you're back home right there, go ahead and lift your hands. Wherever you are, lift your hands and say, thank God. Oh, I praise you, Lord. I give you thanks and praise and adoration and thanksgiving for what you're doing in our lives. We praise you, Lord, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. There is nobody like you. No one like you. You are awesome. You are the healer. You are the deliverer. There's no deliverer like you. Hallelujah. He is marvelous, wonderful. He is a mighty God. He is a Prince of Peace. He's your healer. He's your deliverer. He's your divine supplier. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you helpless. You are not helpless. You're stronger than what you feel. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, Lord, I will act on what I believe. My actions will resemble what I believe. I hook my heart and my mouth together. Thank you. So, Father, I want to thank you for all the promises in your word that I can have what you said in your word. I can have my healing. I can have my marriage. I can have the money. I can have my child, my husband, and everything else. I'm believing you. I'm standing here today in front of all these holy angels in this assembly, that your word is true. It's coming back to me in the name of Jesus. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. If there's anyone here that's been away from Jesus Christ, have been away from God, yes, they know God. Yes, they've been religious, but they don't know you as Lord and Savior. Yes, they've been to church. Yes, they work in church. But is there someone here that says, in the name of Jesus, in this auditorium, and those that are watching online, if you say today, I don't know if I'm saved. If I were to die today, I don't know for an assurance in my heart that I'd make heaven my home. If there's somebody here like that, I want to lift your hand up right up high. Let me lift your hand and say, God, that's me. I want to get saved. I need to be born again. I want to have the no-so salvation. I want to know that I'm born again. Thank you, Lord. Those of you that are watching online right now, if that's you, if you would just say, Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God. I turn to you today and turn away from my ways and my sins. I need salvation. I need a Savior. I need a deliverer. I want to be saved. I want to be free. To be free from fear, to be free from everything that would bind me. I bow my head and ask you, Lord Jesus, come in my life, come in my heart. Forgive my sin. I am a sinner. I belong to you. I say that I believe in you, that you are the Savior of the world. And for that, you said, if I would confess that, believe it in my heart, that I'd be born again, that I'd become a new creature. And you wash me whiter than snow. And actually, if I should die tonight during the nighttime, I would be with you. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I want to thank you right now that I'm eternally saved. That I didn't have anything to do with it but believe you. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen. Praise God.